Before I get into my message, Grandy wanted to share his testimony, and so I thought I would let him do that, if that's okay. Do you have a hairball or something? You're coughing and... No, I don't have a hairball, oh. Grandy. So you were going to tell your testimony today.
That's right. Do you know what a seedling is?
You know what a seedling is?
Yes.
What is a seedling?
It's a little tiny tree. I used to be one.
You used to be a seedling?
I did. And then I grew up to be a tree. And I was living on the hillside with my mother and two brothers. And one day my mother asked us, "Children, what do you want to be when you grow up?" Oh, my first brother said, "Mother, I think I want to be part of the church so that in my way I can help point folks to God." And she said, "That's wonderful, son." And then she looked at my second brother and said, "What do you want to be?" And he said, "I want to be a part of the prayer altar so folks can come and pray. And in my way, I can help point folks to God." And so another said, "Oh, that's wonderful." And she looked down at me, and I looked up at her. And she said, "Mother," she said, "Grandy, what do you want to be when you grow up?" And I said, "I don't think I want to be cut down. I want to stay here on this hillside and hunt my limbs toward heaven." But God had different ideas. One day, there was a tree cutter who came into our forest. And he came up to my first brother, and he cut him down. And he took him to a little town and made a feed trough out of it.
A feed trough?
Yes, a feed trough. And he said, "God, I don't want to be a feed trough. I want to be part of the church so that in my way I can help point folks to God." The God who loves even little trees said to my first brother, "I've got something I want to show you. It's pretty special. I want to show you great and mighty things." Well, my first brother did indeed. Become a seed trough. And they placed him in a barn, and one day someone came and they had a child. And they placed that child in my brother's arms. Do you know who that child was? His name was Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of the Lords. Oh, my first brother did indeed get to the heart of the miracle. And then some years later, we heard another sound in the forest. And here came those tree cutters again. And they came up to my second brother. And they cut him down and took him to a place outside the city. And they started creating him and molding him or building him, making him into a cross. And he said, God, I don't want to need no cross. I wanted to do something that was special. I wanted to be part of a prayer altar so that I could point folks to you. I don't want to be a cross because there's going to be they're going to hang a murderer or a thief upon me, and I don't want that. But God, who loves these little trees, said to my second brother, I have a purpose for you. I want to show you great and mighty things which you don't know. Just submit to me. So they fashioned my second brother into a cross. And they did hang someone on him. But it wasn't a thief. And it wasn't a murderer. As a matter of fact, this man had never committed one sin. They hung this man on my brother. And he died on that cross for your sins and for Brad's sins. Oh, my second brother did indeed get to me part of the greatest miracle of all. Well, years later, I heard another sound in the forest. And I saw those tree cutters again. And I wondered what young sucker has it in store for him this time. And they got closer. And they got closer. And they got closer. And they started cutting me down. And I said, God! I didn't want to be cut out. I wanted to stay here on this hillside and point my limbs toward heaven. Well, they cut me down and took me to California, of all places. And there they fashioned me into the image of man, who was made in the image of God. And then they put me in a box and shut the lid, and it was dark in there. And I was scared. And I said, God, it's dark in here. I'm scared. And God said, Grandy, I know it's dark in here. I'm here with you. And so me and God traveled from California to Portland, Oregon, where I met this guy. I love you.
Oh, Grandy, I love you too.
And so this guy and I have been traveling a lot of places to share the love of Jesus. And you know what? I think, what would life have been like if I had stayed up on that hill and did what I wanted to rather than what God wanted? Oh, God indeed have a great surprise for me. I love you, God. Thank you for all you do for me.
Amen. Thank you, Grandy. So today, I want to spend the next few minutes talking about an individual who tried to run away from God and God's plan for him. You know who this guy is? Jonah. Jonah was a prophet in Israel. There were not a lot of prophets that we read about in the northern part of Israel, but Jonah was one of those. And actually, he was a mighty prophet. But God asked him to do something one day that Jonah didn't want to do. The Ninevites, well, Nineveh was a city of Assyria, and there was a constant war between Israel and Assyria, and Nineveh was the capital city. There were about 120,000 people there, Scripture says, at the time, a really large city, and they were very wicked. Well, God told Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach the message to them. I want you to preach the truth to them, because if they don't receive truth, and if they don't receive God, then there's going to be destruction that's coming upon them. Well, Jonah's heart wasn't right. Did you know that it's easy to be a preacher and not have your heart right? You're not a very good preacher, but your heart needs to be right. And Jonah's heart was not right. And so God told Jonah to go, and so Jonah went, but he didn't go to Nineveh. He got on a ship to head to Tarshish. And while he was on his way to Tarshish, on a boat, a big storm came up. A horrendous storm. We would probably call it a hurricane. And the waters were coming over the sides of the boat. The waters were coming over the bow of the boat. And the sailors were frightened. Horribly frightened, and they didn't know what to do, so they began praying and calling on their gods. Of course, their gods didn't answer them because their gods didn't have ears. Their gods didn't have the ability to still the storm, and they said, what's going on? And they realized, they remembered that Jonah was in the belly of the boat, and he had gone to sleep. Scripture says that he had fallen into a deep sleep. And so they went down to get him. They brought him up to the surface, and they drew lots. Now, you ever draw straws to see who is the odd man out or whatever? The short straw loses. Well, Jonah got the short straw. And they realized it was Jonah who was causing all this mess. So they asked him, who are you? What are you about? And Jonah tells them, well, I'm a prophet of the God of heaven who made the earth and the seas. And they became very frightened and said, what in the world have you done? He said, well, God told me to go to Nineveh. I chose to want to run away from God instead. And they said, what do we do? And Jonah said, and I don't know if he had a death wish. If you've ever been in opposition to God, there's a lot of misery in your heart anyway. And so Jonah said, you know what, just throw me overboard. sailors didn't want to do that. But in order to, they said, I don't know what else we're going to do, so Lord, do not hold this against us. And so he picked Jonah up by the arms and legs and tossed him overboard. And that was the last they saw of Jonah. Immediately, the seas grew calm. And they thought, well, maybe we did the right thing. But they didn't realize that what had happened too. God had prepared a whale to swallow Jonah. And somehow, during this, Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of a whale. And during that time, he got his heart right with God. I think I would be getting my heart right with God too if I spent 3 days in the belly of a whale. So he got his heart right with God. And when he did, the whale spit him out on dry land. When the whale spit him out on dry land, immediately Jonah took off for Nineveh. I mean, he just took off. He did not let any hesitation get in his way. He was going. He made it to Nineveh, and he began preaching to Nineveh. And when he started preaching to Nineveh, he told them, he said, you've got 40 days to repent, or destruction is going to come upon you. When the people heard that, they immediately repented of their sins and began trusting in Jonah's God. Amazing story. 120,000 people, even the king himself, started trusting in the Lord. This made Jonah mad. Can you imagine? Because he hated the Ninevites. He hated that people group, but yet God loved them. Even though they were wicked, God loved them. And so God poured out his mercy and his grace and his compassion on them because, not because they deserved it, but because they cried out to him for mercy. Jonah got angry. He went on the other side, on the eastern side of Nineveh, and sat down to watch to see what God would do to the Ninevites. 40 days came, and God did not destroy the Ninevites. And this really ticked Jonah off. As he was sitting there, the Lord allowed a plant to come up beside Jonah in a night. And as he was there, it began to shade. In that part of the country, it's very hot. When there's no shade, the winds just blow off the desert, and it will just make you feel parched. And so he was grateful for the shade. But the next night, God prepared a worm to eat the gourd, kill the shade, and Jonah was miserable, and he was upset at God for not saving the plant. And God asked him a question. He said, how can you be upset that I've not saved a plant, and yet I've saved 120,000 people? So, I want us to look at a few lessons that we can learn from Jonah. First lesson we learn is, there are consequences to bad behavior. Second is that running from God is not wise. The third lesson we find is that punishment comes to those who are rebellious toward God. And the fourth one is that God is a God of second chances. Man, do we ever need second chances or what? Sometimes we need third and fourth and fifth chances. And God is a God of second chances. God gave Jonah a second chance. God created everything and everyone with a purpose in mind. I'm sorry, I missed one. That God loves even the wicked and desires for them to turn from sin and turn to him. So on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, there was over 3,000 souls, 3,000 individuals who came to know Christ as a personal Lord and Savior. It appears that in Nineveh there was 120,000 that came. You talk about a fall of the Holy Spirit. You talk about a conviction of sin. Something tremendous took place in Nineveh in those days. God created everything and everyone with His purpose in mind. The Lord makes everything for His purpose. I don't know if you realize it or not, but God has a purpose for you. So let me take what we just looked at in Jonah and talk about God had a purpose for Jonah. God had a purpose for the wind. God had a purpose for a whale. God had a purpose for the Ninevites. God had a purpose for a plant. And God had a purpose for a worm. And if God has a purpose for all of those things, Scripture says, the Lord has made everything for its own purpose. Say everything.
Everything.
God has made everything for His own purpose. And if God has a purpose for a worm, God has a purpose for you. And Grandy would say, if God can use an old wooden dummy, then He can use you too. And He has given you gifts. He's given you abilities. And when we surrender to Him, when we, as the Ninevites did, turn from our sin and turn to Him, there's no end to what God will do with someone who's committed to Him. God loves you. He's a gracious and a merciful and a loving God. And some of you here today may have never experienced His grace, His love, and His mercy. Because the only way that you can receive that is through Jesus Christ. The only way you can receive that is by receiving the gift that God has given us through Jesus Christ. Grandy said that Jesus died for our sins. But the only way Jesus can take our sins is if we turn to Him, ask Him, will You take my sins from me? I am sorry. Please forgive me for the things that I've done. And I put my trust in You, not in my good works, not in the things that I can do, not in the things that anyone else has done. My faith is in Jesus and Him alone. This morning, if you've never surrendered your heart to Christ, I'm going to invite you to do that. And some of you, perhaps, are like Jonah. You know what God would have you do, and you're going the other way. I want to encourage you. Come back to the Lord. Do what He would have you do. Submit to Him. You will never experience true happiness until you do that. Father, I come before You today. Lord, I thank You for Your word to us. I thank You for these children who so wonderfully sang the songs and did the pledges. And Lord, just thank You for them. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today who's never given their heart to You, that, Lord, and never experienced You, has never experienced that relationship with You, that they would turn their lives to You right now. They would embrace You as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Lord, realizing they can never do for themselves what You've done for us. Lord, we give You the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name.